Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. My name is Malachi from Hinton, Alberta. The day is June 27th, and we are reading through the Bible.
Thank you so much, Malachi, and welcome to everybody out there. My name is Hunter, and this is the Daily Radio Bible, and we are doing what we do every day. We're spending a little time in God's Word. We're letting God's Word spend a little time on us. I know how we need that, no doubt about that. In fact, if you're new to this podcast, I want to let you know that we try and keep things real simple here. We simply read through the scriptures. Been doing it for almost 4 years now, every day, showing up with you to journey through God's Word, to have our hearts renewed in the gospel each day. And we're going to do that again today as we look into the book of 2 Kings, chapter 13, 14, 2 Chronicles 25, and 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. A whole lot of seconds going on. What do you say we jump right in here? 2 Kings 13. Jehoahaz rules in Israel. Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, began to rule over Israel in the 23rd year of King Joash's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 17 years. But he did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He followed the example of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, continuing the sins that Jeroboam had led Israel to commit. So the Lord was very angry with Israel, and he allowed King Hazael of Aram and his son Ben-Hadad to defeat them repeatedly. Then Jehoahaz prayed for the Lord's help, and the Lord heard his prayer, for he could see how severely the king of Aram was oppressing Israel. So the Lord provided someone to rescue the Israelites from the tyranny of the Arameans. Then Israel lived in safety again, as they had in former days. But they continued to sin, following the evil example of Jeroboam. They also allowed the Asherah in Samaria to remain standing. Finally, Jehoahaz's army was reduced to 50 charioteers, 10 chariots, and 10,000 foot soldiers. The king of Aram had killed the others, trampling them like dust under his feet. The rest of the events in Jehoahaz's reign, everything he did and the extent of his power are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. When Jehoahaz died, he was buried in Samaria. Then his son Jehoash became the next king. Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, began to rule over Israel in the 37th year of King Joash's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 16 years, but he did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to turn from the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to commit. The rest of the events in Jehoash's reign, everything he did, including the extent of his power and his war with King Amaziah of Judah, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. When Jehoash died, he was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. Then his son Jeroboam II became the next king. When Elisha was in his last illness, King Jehoash of Israel visited him and wept over him. "My father, my father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel," he cried. Elisha told him, "Get a bow and some arrows." And the king did as he was told. Elisha told him, "Put your hand on the bow." And Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. Then he commanded, "Open that eastern window." And he opened it. Then he said, "Shoot!" So he shot an arrow. Elisha proclaimed, "This is the Lord's arrow, an arrow of victory over Aram, for you will completely conquer the Arameans at Aphek." Then he said, "Now pick up the other arrows and strike them against the ground." So the king picked them up and struck the ground 3 times. But the man of God was angry with him. "You should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times," he exclaimed. "Then you would have beaten Aram until it was entirely destroyed. Now you will be victorious only 3 times. Then Elisha died and was buried. Groups of Moabite raiders used to invade the land each spring. Once when some Israelites were burying a man, they spied a band of these raiders. So they hastily threw the corpse into the tomb of Elisha and fled. But as soon as the body touched Elisha's bones, the dead man revived and jumped to his feet. King Hazael of Aram had oppressed Israel during the entire reign of King Jehoash, but the Lord was gracious and merciful to the people of Israel, and they were not totally destroyed. He pitied them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to this day he has still not completely destroyed them or banished them from his presence. King Hazael of Aram died, and his son Ben-Hadad became the next king. Then Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, recaptured from Ben-Hadad, son of Hazael, the towns that had been taken from Jehoash's father, Jehoahaz. Jehoash defeated Ben-Hadad on three occasions, and he recovered the Israelite towns. 2 Kings 14. Amaziah, son of Joash, began to rule over Judah in the second year of the reign of King Jehoash of Israel. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother was Jehoadin from Jerusalem. Amaziah did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, but not like his ancestor David. Instead, he followed the example of his father Joash. Amaziah did not destroy the pagan shrines, and the people still offered sacrifices and burnt incense there. When Amaziah was well established as king, he executed the officials who had assassinated his father. However, he did not kill the children of the assassins, for he obeyed the command of the Lord, as written by Moses in the book of the law. Parents must not be put to death for the sins of their children, nor children for the sins of their parents. Those deserving to die must be put to death for their own crimes. Amaziah also killed 10,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. He also conquered Selah and changed its name to Jotkil, as it is called to this day. One day Amaziah sent messengers with this challenge to Israel's king Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, and grandson of Jehu. Come and meet me in battle. But King Jehoash of Israel replied to King Amaziah of Judah with this story. Out in the Lebanon mountains, a thistle sent a message to a mighty cedar tree. Give your daughter in marriage to my son. But just then a wild animal of Lebanon came by and stepped on the thistle, crushing it. You have indeed defeated Edom, and you are proud of it. But be content with your victory and stay at home. Why stir up trouble that will only bring disaster on you and the people of Judah? But Amaziah refused to listen, so King Jehoash of Israel mobilized his army against King Amaziah of Judah. The two armies drew up their battle lines at Beth Shemesh in Judah. Judah was routed by the army of Israel, and its army scattered and fled for home. King Jehoash of Israel captured Judah's king, Amaziah son of Joash and grandson of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh. Then he marched to Jerusalem, where he demolished 600 feet of Jerusalem's wall, from the Ephraim gate to the corner gate. He carried off all the gold and silver and all the articles from the temple of the Lord. He also seized the treasures from the royal palace along with hostages and then returned to Samaria. The rest of the events in Jehoash's reign and everything he did, including the extent of his power and his war with King Amaziah of Judah, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. When Jehoash died, he was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel, and his son Jeroboam II became the next king. King Amaziah of Judah lived for 15 years after the death of King Jehoash of Israel. The rest of the events of Amaziah's reign are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. There was a conspiracy against Amaziah's life in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, but his enemies sent assassins after him, and they killed him there. They brought his body back to Jerusalem on a horse, and he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. All the people of Judah had crowned Amaziah's 16-year-old son, Uzziah, as king in place of his father Amaziah. After his father's death, Uzziah rebuilt the town of Elath and restored it to Judah. Jeroboam II, the son of Joash, began to rule over Israel in the 15th year of King Amaziah's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 41 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to turn from the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to commit. Jeroboam II recovered the territories of Israel between Lebo Hamath and the Dead Sea, just as the Lord God of Israel had promised through Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher. For the Lord saw the bitter suffering of everyone in Israel, and that there was no one in Israel, slave or free, to help them. And because the Lord had not said he would blot out the name of Israel completely, he used Jeroboam II, son of Jehoash, to save them. The rest of the events in the reign of Jeroboam II, and everything he did, including the extent of his power, his wars, and how he recovered for Israel both Damascus and Hamath, which had belonged to Judah, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. When Jeroboam II died, he was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. Then his son, Zechariah, became the next king. 2 Chronicles 25. Amaziah rules in Judah. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother was Jehoadin from Jerusalem. Amaziah did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, but not wholeheartedly. When Amaziah was well established as king, he executed the officials who had assassinated his father. However, he did not kill the children of the assassins, for he obeyed the command of the Lord as written by Moses in the book of the law. Parents must not be put to death for the sins of their children, nor children for the sins of their parents. Those deserving to die must be put to death for their own crimes. Then Amaziah organized the army, assigning generals and captains for all Judah and Benjamin. He took a census and found that he had an army of 300,000 select troops, 20 years old and older, all trained in the use of spear and shield. He also paid about 7,500 pounds of silver to hire 100,000 experienced fighting men from Israel. But a man of God came to him and said, "Your Majesty, do not hire troops from Israel, for the Lord is not with Israel. He will not help those people of Ephraim. If you let them go with your troops into battle, you will be defeated by the enemy. No matter how well you fight, God will overthrow you, for he has the power to help you or to trip you up." Amaziah asked the man of God, "But what about all that silver I paid to hire the army of Israel?" The man of God replied, "The Lord is able to give you much more than this." So Amaziah discharged the hired troops and sent them back to Ephraim. This made them very angry with Judah, and they returned home in a great rage. Then Amaziah summoned his courage and led his army to the Valley of Salt, where they killed 10,000 Edomite troops from Seir. They captured another 10,000 and took them to the top of a cliff and threw them off, dashing them to pieces on the rocks below. Meanwhile, the hired troops that Amaziah had sent home raided several of the towns of Judah between Samaria and Beth-Horon. They killed 3,000 people and carried off great quantities of plunder. When King Amaziah returned from slaughtering the Edomites, he brought with him idols taken from the people of Seir. He set them up as his own gods, bowed down in front of them, and offered sacrifices to them. This made the Lord very angry, and he sent a prophet to ask, "Why do you turn to the gods who could not even save their own people from you?" But the king interrupted him and said, "Since when have I made you the king's counselor? Be quiet now before I have you killed." So the prophet stopped with this warning: "I know that God has determined to destroy you because you have done this and have refused to accept my counsel." After consulting with his advisors, King Amaziah of Judah sent this message to Israel's king Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz and grandson of Jehu: "Come and meet me in battle." But King Jehoash of Israel replied to King Amaziah of Judah with this story: "Out in Lebanon's mountains, a thistle sent a message to a mighty cedar tree, 'Give your daughter in marriage to my son.' But just then a wild animal of Lebanon came by and stepped on the thistle, crushing it. You are saying, 'I have defeated Edom,' and you are very proud of it. But my advice is to stay at home. Why stir up trouble that will only bring disaster on you and on the people of Judah?" But Amaziah refused to listen, for God was determined to destroy him for turning to the gods of Edom. So King Jehoash of Israel mobilized his army against King Amaziah of Judah. The two armies drew up their battle lines at Beth Shemesh in Judah. Judah was routed by the army of Israel, and its armies scattered and fled for home. King Jehoash of Israel captured Judah's king Amaziah, son of Joash, and grandson of Ahaziah at Beth Shemesh. Then he brought them to Jerusalem, where he demolished 600 feet of Jerusalem's wall from the Ephraim gate to the corner gate. He carried off all the gold and silver and all the articles from the temple of God that had been in the care of Obed-Edom. He also seized the treasures of the royal palace, along with hostages, and then he returned to Samaria. King Amaziah of Judah lived for 15 years after the death of King Jehoash of Israel. The rest of the events of Amaziah's reign, from beginning to end, are recorded in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. After Amaziah turned away from the Lord, there was a conspiracy against his life in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But his enemies sent assassins after him, and they killed him there. They brought his body back on a horse, and he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. They are the kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. These teachers oppose the truth, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. They have depraved minds and a counterfeit faith. But they won't get away with this for long. Someday everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as with Jannes and Jambres. But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it, yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil people and impostors will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know that you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Now may God use this word to prepare us for every good work. Amen. What news are you listening to? Is it fake news or real news? Something's informing your life. Something's telling you what's true and what's untrue. What kind of news is it? What kind of news are you listening to? Fake news or real news? Some fake news comes to us through our past and through some people. Experiences from our past that have left their mark on us, they've bruised us, and we need to be healed from them. We need to have healing words spoken over those wounds. And the same goes with people. Sometimes the people we've been with have spoken words to us that were not true. Words like, you're never going to change, and you shouldn't even try, and you're not worth the time. Those kinds of words, that kind of fake news. These words don't offer us wisdom or salvation. They don't really teach us what is right. They simply say that we're wrong. Well, that's not the good news of the Bible. That's not the true news of Scripture. Now, Paul tells us that all Scripture is from God, and it's profitable, it's useful to teach us, to correct us, yes, but to teach us the truth that sets us free and establishes us in the life we have in Jesus. Fake news will run you down into the ground and never let you up. But the good news, the news that Paul is talking about here in verse 17, that real news, says this, that God uses his word to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Let me ask you again, what kind of news are you listening to? Is it fake news or is it real news? The prayer that I have for my own heart today is that I will establish my own soul and heart and life in what is real, the real good news of the gospel. The gospel that says Christ now lives in me by faith, and through him I can change. Through him I can grow. Through him I can experience life here and now. This is true. This is not fake. And this is offered to me and to you and to all who are willing to hear it, even today. And the prayer of my own heart is that I will be rooted in this truth, and that my wife and children and you will also be rooted in this true news, even today. May it be so. Well, dailyradiobible.com, that's where we're hanging our hat out here in the interwebs, and it is always such a great thing to hear from you, to find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. So next time you got a moment, take it and let a brother know. Hey, speaking of brothers, I had a great visit with a brother, an old and present friend of mine, and member of the Daily Radio Bible family. He showed up in my church service on Sunday out of the blue. Well, not entirely out of the blue, but it still surprised me. And man, it was such a neat thing. So Chuck Gooden, my brother, good to see you. No doubt about that. And if you'd like to join us at City Church Cincinnati on a Sunday, if you're ever traveling through the Queen City here, it would be my honor to meet with you, to connect with you, to hug your neck, and to be thankful for what God's doing here among us. Hey, I've got something I want you to do for me. A favor, would you share the app with your friends? It's such a simple thing. All you have to do is click on the link in the app that says share the app, and there's about 5 different ways you can pass it on to the folks in your life. There are people out there that are hungry for the Word of God, who are awash in fake news, and they just need some real news, some good news each day in their life, a little encouragement. And that's what this podcast is all about. So share the app. Another way that you can share this ministry is by liking our Facebook page and sharing our posts. Speaking of that, there's a few of you out there who are so faithful at sharing our posts to your world through social media. I'm thinking about folks like Don Horseman, Ken McDonald, Blanca Gonzalez, and so many others out there who faithfully repost our posts through your social media channels, and that is such a blessing and encouragement to us. And it's a great way to let people know about this ministry. So share the app and share our posts and join us on Facebook. And hey, how about this? Sign up for our newsletter. It's a great way for you to stay in the know and for us to share with you all that God is conspiring to do in our lives and through this little ministry. Well, hey, my friends, we've done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible. And I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here at this makeshift office in the basement of my house in the Queen City of Cincinnati, Ohio. Until then, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let his joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. All right, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You take care. Thank you.